This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.
Encounter with the author. A few new members were added to our obedience group on the day of the shoot. John Grogan and his wife Jennifer were flown out from Pennsylvania to the set to join the class. Mr. Grogan was given a lovely terrier mix to handle, while his wife handled the Weimaraner, who had attended rehearsal. I had brought my Marley and Me book on the chance the author would be on the set. I approached Mr. Grogan for an autograph at the end of our lunch break, and later, during a scene break, I darted across the drill circle to ask him a burning question. "If I don't ask you this," I said, "I'll shoot myself." This is why I like writing more than speaking. In writing, I could delete that shoot myself part and say something more like a sane person would say, such as, "I'll be very disappointed in myself." However, I just kept barreling along and said, "Has the obedience instructor this scene revolves around ever contacted you?" I could not believe she kicked you out of class. Obviously, you and Marley needed more help than anyone. He told me that a lot of people had recognized themselves in the book and had written to him, but she was not one of them. What? How could she not see herself? I was obviously more annoyed than he was by then, but training rescue dogs will do that to you. Marley could very well have become a statistic after being exiled from an obedience class if his dog parents weren't John and Jennifer Grogan. Mr. Grogan decided that the trainer was just not able to see outside herself, so I accepted his conclusion and walked back to my mark. Taking care of the extras. Another newcomer to our obedience group had arrived, dressed in a knee-length denim skirt, tie-around shirt, and sandals. She was not a dog handler, but a friend of someone high up in the production's food chain. She was given a Cocker Spaniel from one of the many small dogs that were brought for the background classes, and then got a spot next to Marley. Two men from rehearsal day chose to wear flip-flops, and by day's end realized why that wasn't a good idea. Their feet had provided snacks for the ants who flourished on certain parts of the hill. Nancy ran around spraying dogs' paws and people's feet and shoes with a bug repellent for most of the day. She came prepared with an arsenal of items. For the quarter-size hotspot Liesl had licked bald on her rump, Nancy brought a spray that bald men use to patch hairless spots. After a few mists, Liesl looked flawless. Choke collars and the illusion of one. The latecomer scene was filmed from three different angles, if not four. It was a long process. After that, we progressed to the collar your dog scene. Wardrobe rushed in with handfuls of choke collars because many of the dogs were in buckle type collars and their handlers didn't own chokes. This is a testament both to the development of new products and training techniques since the early 90s that work better and are more humane, and to the empathetic shifts in dog owners' perspectives. Gigi's handler mentioned that she'd signed a contract with the service dog group sponsoring Gigi that no choke chain would be used on her. Gigi has a lovely reddish coat and was in a head halter of similar color. Though her handler may have slipped a collar on, she didn't connect it to the leash. With the body of fur on Gigi, no one would notice. Dogs have fan clubs too. Jennifer Aniston stopped by to pay attention to Gigi and her beautiful fur several times during the day. Liesl had a fan also. One of the crew members has three Dobies in California and had come over to pet Liesl at least three times. There seemed to be someone drawn to most every dog in the group, and it was heartwarming to be approached by the dog lovers in the cast and crew. As the collar your dog scene progressed, the Marleys had another behavior to show off. While Owen tried to put the choke collar on, Marley was to stop him by biting it, which held up the class. The lab did a good job with Matilda directing him and left an opening for a punchline from Miss Turner. Behind the class was Matilda, and behind her were white background panels, which will undoubtedly disappear in editing. Matilda gave the Marleys their cues with hand signals, and occasionally she had to include a verbal command, which will also disappear in editing. Trouble in the form of a cat. After Marley's collar was put on, we did the exercise that we'd practice on rehearsal day, where Marley takes off through our class circle with Ray in tow. Matilda was on the other end with the dog's much-loved dinner bowl, but before Ray could pass the leash to Owen, the lab got riled up when he spotted a cat on the dock across the canal. This particular Marley was a handful to hold on to, and he was not shy about announcing his sighting. Had the leash slipped, I have no doubt that he would have flung himself into the canal, swam across it, and found a way to scale the wall to get that cat. There was no calming the boy down. With each second ticking away, dollars were adding up. They put this Marley in his crate and brought out another lab. Dogs will be dogs, and even movie star dogs have fetishes. This was the understudy's big break, and he took up the challenge and finished the scene. Hard work, preparation, and creativity yield flawless scenes. Each scene was filmed from at least three different angles, and each angle was filmed no less than four times. Every time a scene was set up, we were given marks to stand on, and the dogs had to stay on their marks as well. One scene required the dogs to be standing in front of us, and it started with Miss Turner saying, "Class, sit your dogs." Remarkably, and unlike reality, hardly a peep was heard from the class, and quietly we got our dogs to sit. We all had heard quiet on the set and took it seriously. Liesl is not a tuck-sitting dog, and we had been reminded twice that she was too far away from our mark in this scene. I decided to start back a half foot away, so when Liesl sat, we ended smack dab on our mark. When Kathleen Turner's turn came to be dragged by Marley, she asked aloud if we extras were showing some reaction to what was going on. We hadn't been directed to do anything, so most of us remained stoic and quiet on the set. The handler in flip-flops standing next to me said he thought Miss Turner being dragged was funny, and someone seconded that. Kathleen Turner then said, "Fine, but everyone can't find it funny." So she directed those two to laugh, but others of us had to react differently. She broke the ice and gave us room to perform. When it came time to watching her get knocked down and humped by Marley, yes, they even trained him to do that, we were permitted to show our reactions, appalled, amused, or something in between. I had more respect for Kathleen Turner's professionalism when she stepped outside her role as an actress. As for the Marley hump, this happened further away from the class than any of the other behaviors. Marley pulled himself free from the dominatrix trainer's grip after yanking her across the lawn and away from class. When Kathleen Turner blew her whistle, Marley barreled back at her, knocked her over, and took advantage of her knee. When it came to falling down, there was a double who took the hard knock and drop for Miss Turner. From there, Ray Beal held a cloth sprayed liberally with a feminine scent to the lab's nose, and Matilda touched Marley on the side of his back leg, which got his motor revving. That's when they placed the lab on the knee of the dominatrix trainer. This was the last scene of the day. The sun was nearly gone, and as we worked past hour 14, most everyone was showing signs of fatigue. While they set up for the last angle, I removed my sunglasses, planning to place them back on when we started to roll again. Within a minute, someone ran up to me from out of nowhere to explain that I had to wear those glasses for the sake of continuity. I had no idea we were being watched so closely, and I explained my plan was to put them back on as soon as we got back to work. Meanwhile, Owen Wilson and one of the crew members kicked a soccer ball back and forth in front of us, which got some of the dogs' attention. when they switched to a Frisbee, the Aussie was the one who perked up. All dogs remained well-mannered, though, even with temptation in front of their eyes. In all, the shoot day was a phenomenal demonstration of positive training. With everything riding on getting the scenes done, the dogs were as professional as the humans. The dogs' attitudes were positive and their behaviors consistent. Even the cat emergency was handled impressively. If filmmakers count on the reliability of positive reinforcement training, with hundreds of thousands of dollars riding on the result, it certainly makes sense that such methods can work for dogs everywhere. It's a wrap. What will happen to the three labs after the Marley and Me project concludes? I asked Ray Beal. He explained all the Marleys will go back to one of the Birds and Animals Unlimited base locations, where they'll remain until they are called for another project. I had an insane but fleeting wish that the dogs would need homes and I would be ready to provide one. I had adopted Liesl from a shelter 6 years ago and have no idea why such a lovely Dobie girl had ended up there in the first place. She has been an ideal companion from day one, and we had a lot of fun together on the rehearsal day and on the special shoot day. For our work on the Marley and Me movie, Liesl was paid 50% more per hour than I was. That was humbling. Next up. And what's ahead for Liesl and me? We are currently clicking our way to attention, off-leash healing, and recall precision. Our mutual goal is an AKC companion dog title. I have a house full of rescue dogs, which doesn't allow for as much one-on-one competitive training and practice time per dog as I'd like. I have learned to manage by rotating focus on each dog and accomplishing short-term goals. At the end of the day, playing catch, tug, and find the peanuts is what's most important to the psychological health of the pack. As far as the filmmaking future goes, I've learned that opportunity not only knocks on doors, but invitations for adventure can arrive through email. Liesl and I were very fortunate to be involved with the Marley and Me film, and because of it, we are now in the Trademark Animal Talent database. If there is ever a need for a Doberman in the future, we would be honored to be called upon. Marley and Me will open in movie theaters on Christmas Day, 2008.
This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.